Thanks for joining us online at Highland Park Presbyterian Church. We're so glad you're here. On this podcast, you'll hear weekly teaching from God's Word, featuring messages from our incredible preaching staff and a variety of guest speakers. We hope the following message leaves you feeling encouraged and deepens your relationship with Christ. Enjoy the episode, and thanks for listening.
Listen to the word of the Lord as it comes to us from Acts as we continue to read. Peter and John have been arrested for healing a man at the temple gate. They've been released with the threat that they will never preach or do anything again in Jerusalem in the name of Jesus. That's the condition of their release. Listen to the word of the Lord. When Peter and John were released, they went to their friends and reported that the chief priests and the elders had said to them. And when they heard it, they lifted their voices together to God and said, "Sovereign God, who made the heaven and the earth and the sea and everything in them, who through the mouth of our father David, your servant, said by the Holy Spirit, why did the Gentiles rage and the people plot in vain? The kings of the earth set themselves up. The rulers have gathered together against the Lord and against his anointed. For truly in this city they were gathered together against your holy servant Jesus, whom you anointed, both Herod and Pontius Pilate, along with the Gentiles and the peoples of Israel, to do whatever your hand and your plan had preordained to take place. So now, O Lord, you look upon their threats and grant to your servants to continue to speak your word with all boldness while you stretch out your hand to heal, and signs and wonders are performed through the name of your holy servant, Jesus." And when they had prayed, the place in which they were gathered together was shaken, and they were filled with the Holy Spirit and continued to speak the word of God with boldness. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Thank you, Clay. Clay is one of the newer pastors to our staff. And last week, he read the scripture for Josh Peck and the other services. And I thought, wow, I wish I could read scripture like that. Maybe Clay can teach me how to read scripture so it comes alive. And then I thought, why don't I just ask him to read the scripture? Now, we have quite a text this morning, right? In verse 31, we see that the people, they pray. They're filled with the Spirit. The whole house is shaking. Imagine if this church started to shake. And they spew out into the world to boldly proclaim the good news of Jesus Christ. So we have quite the text to talk about this morning. So can we start in prayer? Will you all go with me to the Lord? Father, Son, Holy Spirit, we come to you knowing that you are our God. And Lord, you promise that you are here with us, and you promise that when we open up your word, it is living and active, sharper than any double-edged sword, cutting through joint and marrow. So Lord, cut through our hearts. Speak to us in the way that we need to hear you. Reveal yourself to us, Lord, in a deeper, more profound way than we have ever heard or known before, because Lord, we need you to do that and more. And Father, may I decrease and you increase. No one needs to hear from me. Lord, we need to hear from you and you alone. And so, Lord, just as you filled your people with your Spirit, do that today. Do that right now, Lord. We are here waiting, saying, come. Come, Holy Spirit. Do all this, we ask. In your Son's Jesus' name, amen. Not too long ago, I was listening to a panel of pastors talking about the American church. And they were talking about what one of the leaders of the Barna Group, which is a Christian research organization, one of the leaders had said, statistically, the American church is facing irreversible decline. Happy Father's Day. Aren't y'all glad that you came to church on this morning to talk about the irreversible decline of the American church in the West? Now, what this leader was talking about is people are leaving church left and right. They're leaving the institution. They're questioning the people of God. They're questioning God himself. And the church has come to a place where there is nothing we can humanly do to fix this. We are utterly dependent upon the Spirit of the Lord. And as we continue in our sermon series in the book of Acts, which traces the movement of the Holy Spirit, we should actually see that this is good news. It is good news to have to wait on the Lord, to have to depend on the Holy Spirit. As Clay just read in our text in verse 31, the church, they're under persecution. They're facing their own setbacks, their own turmoil, their own hardships. And instead of putting together a committee meeting, instead of putting together a long-term strategic plan, what do? They pray. The building shakes. The Holy Spirit comes. And they are out there proclaiming the good news despite what is up against them. And y'all, here's the beautiful thing about this. You know, the Holy Spirit tends to get a rap as the shy person of the Trinity. But y'all, he's not shy at all, is he? This right here in our text, it is just a whisper of what the Holy Spirit has done and can do. Back in the 1700s, the church was on decline. But what happened? The Great Awakening, the revival sparked up. And as you study the revival, there's one of the preachers named John Wesley. And what I love about him is he was a preacher who would come in and he spoke so gently, so softly, and yet people would report that the force of God would come out and fill the people with the Spirit. Things were happening, so much so that John Wesley's assistant began to have to write the venues that he would attend, saying, please, please do not let any more people in than there are seats, because men tend to fall over when he speaks. Could you imagine? But not just that, let's fast forward to the 1900s. The church was on decline. Next thing you know, there's a revival in the Hebrides. And men and women, they're gathered in churches praying and praying for hours. And what starts happening? Not only are people on the streets being filled with the Spirit, but the ships that are passing through are having to dock, because these strong, burly men are all of a sudden weeping in tears, having to confess their sins. They're having to dock the ship saying, is there a pastor around here? We need a pastor, because these men are wanting to confess their sins and give their lives to Jesus. Now, when the Holy Spirit fills people, it doesn't always look like these ecstasies and manifestations. Sometimes it does look like one person stepping up in courage, speaking truth to power. Sometimes it looks like having the courage to share the good news with a friend or a stranger. Or maybe it looks like somebody rejoicing, even during a long season of suffering and hardship. All that to say, the Holy Spirit is alive and active. And what I think what the Lord wants us to know today is that he wants to move in and through us. He is available. He is willing. He is ready. And many of us might be asking the question, well, why don't we see this today? But can we ask an even better question? A question that I think the Lord is wanting to ask us. Do we want this? Do we actually want to be filled with the Holy Spirit? Do we actually want what took place in Acts 4, verse 31, where they were filled and sent out to go proclaim the good news of the Lord? And the reason I ask this is because do we realize what it means to truly be filled with the Spirit? You know, it's one thing to believe in God. It's another thing to be filled by God. the moment that we believe, you and I are given the Holy Spirit. We are given the Holy Spirit without measure. We have him. But moments when we are actually filled with the Holy Spirit is when the Spirit has us. When we believe we have the Spirit, when we are filled, the Spirit has us. Many theologians, when they translate what to be filled actually means, they'll use synonyms like anointed, imbued, or inspired, which, yes, that is true, and it's beautiful, and it reveals the Holy Spirit taking up residence in people and using them. But can you and I get honest and raw for a second? Can we actually look what the Greek truly translates to be filled to be? If we're honest, here's the kind of words that the Greek would pull out. It more literally means to be dominated, to be controlled by, to be possessed by. Now, I realize in this day and age, these are triggering words. I realize that they come with a lot of negative connotations, right? And yet, I don't want us to miss the weight, the gravity of what it means to truly be filled with the Spirit. Because ultimately, what it means to be filled with the Spirit is to make Jesus Lord. What the church in Acts were doing was making Jesus Lord of their lives. Saying, you be Lord, you rule over my comforts, you rule over my desires, you take charge over my family, over my finances, over my plans. You be Lord of my life. Again, it's one thing to believe and have the Spirit. It's another thing to be filled and let the Spirit have us. Do we want this? Do we really want to be filled by the Holy Spirit? You know, it sounds beautiful and catchy when the theologian Carrie Underwood sings, Jesus, take the wheel. Take it from my hand. Have your way. It sounds amazing, right? But what about when we hear the words from a faithful pastor, A.W. Tozer, who describes it to his congregation? And I have to let you know, I wrestled all week with, do I share this? Because he's very direct. He's very honest about what it means. And finally, this morning, I was like, Lord, last chance. Is it yes or no? And he made me realize he pricked my heart with this. So why would I not give him the chance to prick your heart with this? So hear these words from Tozer as he's preaching to his own church. He asks, but do you want to be possessed by him? Do you really want to hand the keys of your soul over to the Holy Spirit and say, Lord, from now on, I don't even have the keys to my own house. I come and go as thou tellest me. Are you willing to give the office of your business establishment over to the Lord and say, Jesus, you sit in this chair. You handle the telephones. You boss the staff. You be Lord even of this outfit. Are you sure that you want your personality to be taken over by the one who will expect obedience to his written and living word? Are you sure that you want your personality to be taken over by the one who will not tolerate our self-sins, our self-righteousness, our self-admiration, our self-aggrandizement, our self-pity? Do you desire to even have your personality taken over by the one who stands in sharp opposition to the world's easy ways? No tolerance of evil. No smiling at crooked jokes. No laughing off the things that God hates. The Spirit of God, if he takes over, will bring you into opposition to the world just as Jesus was brought into opposition to it. The world crucified Jesus because they couldn't stand him. This is hard. There was a preacher that I admire who, whenever he said hard things to his church, he would tell them, because I love you, I'm rattling your cage so you know you're in one. We live in one of the wealthiest, most affluent cities of the entire world. We have technology that is so advanced that can do things that back then they would have never dreamed of. Burger King sums up our entire culture in this catchy motto, "Have it your way." We have a culture that preaches, you do you, do what feels right to you. You are the Lord of your own life. And so do we really want this? Do we really want to be filled with the Holy Spirit, to be taken over by him, to be possessed by him, to be controlled by him? As I was wrestling with this question myself during the week, I found myself saying, Lord, I know I'm supposed to want to. I want to want you to fill me. So I began asking, well, how do I get there? How can this desire in me grow to be filled with the Holy Spirit? How do we get to the place where the church in Acts got to, where they were willing to surrender their entire lives and let the Holy Spirit take over? How do we get there? Now, many people would say, well, it was their persecution. I mean, it's true that when we lose everything, when we're stripped away of everything, our hands are very much open to receive fully the Spirit of God. Jesus was being serious when he said, blessed are the poor. Blessed are those who are persecuted, for theirs is the kingdom of God. And so they had nothing to lose. Now, we in America, we do not face persecution. Not like they do all around the world. However, we do face suffering. We do have our own trials. We're all facing our own battles. And those of you who face severe hardship know that it's in those times that, like a wave, we are crashed into the rock of God. We are swept into him where he is all that we have. But here's the thing. I'm not going to tell us to go and chase suffering, to go find persecution, to go and become martyrs, because actually, there's something very powerful in our text that leads to the desire to be filled with the Spirit. It's something that can be so easily overmissed because of all the amazing things that happen in verse 31. But what comes before it in verses 24 to 30 is, I believe, what will unlock our desires to be filled with the Spirit, to give ourselves over to him. What happens is, it says that the people, they're gathered. They're united just like this. They come together. And what do? They begin to declare who God is through his very word. We pick up in verse 24, they cry out, Sovereign Lord, who made the heaven and the earth and the sea and everything in them. What they're doing is they're already pointing all the way back to Genesis, to the story of creation, saying that you're creator, you're ruler, we exist because of you. You are in charge. In verses 25 and 26, they echo David's words in Psalm 2. Why did the Gentiles rage and the peoples plot in vain? The kings of the earth set themselves. The rulers were gathered together against the Lord, against his anointed. What they're declaring is who God is, but also that he is a God who has a perfect plan. A plan that no matter what the world tries to do, a plan that will be accomplished. And they look to Jesus Christ to see what this plan is. That this plan is, it's actually good. Looking at Jesus, they realize that his plan is to bring the dead to life, to give sight to the blind, to heal the sick, to bind the wounds of the brokenhearted, to restore the lost, to reconcile the sinner. And it's a plan that he will make good on. And so how does this church actually desire to be filled with the Spirit? What lays them before God to receive his Spirit? I would say more than persecution is their knowledge of God. Not just head knowledge, but they truly know intimately who their God is. They have a deep and trusting relationship with him. They actually believe what God tells them in his word. The question for us is, do we? How often do we get into the very word of God and say, Lord, you reveal yourself to me. Give me a heart that desires you. Show me what you have for my life. Make yourself irresistible to me. Let me tell you, he will do good on those prayers. So do we want this? Do we really want to be filled with the Holy Spirit? I think at the end of the day, the big question on our hearts is, well, what will happen, right? What would happen if I laid my career, if I put my reputation, if I put my finances, my children in the hands of a God that I cannot control, in the hands of a God that cannot and will not be domesticated or tamed? What will happen? C.S. Lewis, he wrote the Chronicles of Narnia about these four children. They enter into the new world of Narnia, and they find these talking beavers, Mr. and Mrs. Beaver, who become their tour guides, and they're taking them around, and they talk about this person, Aslan. Aslan is the king of this world that they've entered in, and they're going to get to meet Aslan, but Mr. Beaver says, Aslan's a lion, the lion. A great lion. And so the children, they're startled. They're saying, he's a lion? I thought he was going to be a man. Is he quite safe? Mr. Beaver chuckles and he says, safe? Who said anything about safe? Of course he isn't safe, but he's good. For he's king, I tell you. If you were to ask me, what is God going to do with your life if you place it in the hands of God? I, as your pastor, would say, I don't know. I don't know, but he's good. He is your creator. He thought of you before the foundation of the world. He knit you together in your mother's womb. He loves you so much that he sent his son to die on the cross in your place so that you would be free. So that you would be whole, so that you would be spotless, sinless, righteous in his sight, so that you would have an inheritance that is imperishable and untouchable. He loves you so much. He's good. So Highland Park Prez, again, I ask you, do we want this? Do we really want to be filled by the Holy Spirit? Our city, our world needs this. Our families need this. We need this. But do we want it? Maybe God is knocking on an area of your life, saying, let me in. Maybe it is your job or your finances, or maybe it's a struggle. Maybe it's a place of sin that you're too afraid to let God in. Let me tell you, God wants to go there. Maybe it's something that you've been trying to fix in your life, and God is saying, will you let me take care of that? Maybe it's giving our time to sit in his word, to abide in him and talk with him and have a relationship with him. What is it that God is asking you to open up to him? Do we want this? If so, he will come. And so if you're willing, if you're daring, would you pray boldly with me? Let's bow our heads. Heavenly Father, we sit here before you. You are our King. You are our Creator. You are our Father who loves us. And Lord, we know you're knocking. We know you're knocking on the doors of our hearts. We know you're asking for us to let you out of the attic or the cellar of our lives and let you take the whole of us. And yet, Lord, we confess we can be fearful. We confess that a lot of times we want control. We want to do things our own way. And yet, Lord, here we are just in this moment saying, have your way. Lord, we hand over these places of our lives and say, take it. Do what only you can do. Lord, in this moment, we make room for you. And we all cry out, come, Holy Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit. Here we are, your church, your people. Have your way. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
We hope you enjoyed this message and we look forward to connecting with you in person soon. Each week, we study God's Word together on Sundays at 8:15, 9:30, and 11 a.m. You can go to hbprez.org/Sundays to plan your next visit and stay updated on our current sermon series. God bless, and we'll see you next time.